This FabFM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, the Douglas Shire Ratepayers Association officially comes into existence today, Friday the 24th of January 2020. Sylvia, why do we need a DSRA?
I guess more to the point is, why don't we have one already? Many, if not most, of the council shires have a ratepayers association. But having said that, there's a very active Mowbray Douglas Ratepayers Association in the early 1900s. So it's nothing new, but certainly well overdue that we have one for the shire. You know, unlike state government and federal government, there's no opposition party to scrutinise and bring to the public attention the actions and the activities of the sitting council, and challenging in the public arena some of the decisions they make.
There's no local watchdog, that's what you're saying.
That's absolutely right. There's no independent body that can truly say that it's representative of ratepayers. So how are council making their decisions with confidence that they have the support of ratepayers? Well, the fact is they can't. In the current situation.
They can't say that.
No, they can't.
Well, as you mentioned there, a ratepayers association is not new. You mentioned the early 1900s, and attempts have been made in the past to make council accountable, but they've come and gone, these sort of ratepayers associations. Why do you believe this latest one has a chance to succeed and be, you know, in existence for a long period of time?
Yeah, I don't know that it's fair to say that there's been a lot of ratepayers associations come and go.
I think
that, yes, as we said, there was one about 100 years ago and was very successful. If you read the article that was way back in 1910 in the Brisbane Courier, very enlightening reading. I think there was a group about the time of de-amalgamation who had a conversation. There was a group of very active people at that time, but I don't believe it actually came to any fruition. And I'm sure your listeners will correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe there's been another ratepayers association launched in the way that we have. We have our website. We have an association. We're becoming incorporated. We're a body. We have members. So I don't believe there have been many come and go. I think this is probably the first in a very, very long time.
Okay, let's go through a few things that council has done without taking the ratepayers, I guess, on that journey with them. Now, the ill-conceived, and we discussed this quite a lot at the time, the ill-conceived and finally aborted Qantas Green Collar Carbon Credit Scheme. Now, what did you think of that? And what does the Ratepayers Association say about that?
Yes, I think most people are now aware that the council nearly committed the shire to what clearly seemed to have been an ill-conceived carbon credit scheme. I think there was an initial uncapped commitment of approximately $600,000 over 3 years, and a promise of millions of dollars in advertising and publicity to the Shire, which was never going to come to fruition, as it turns out. And when that fell through, the council then went ahead without any community consultation to spend $725,000 on a very large vacant block of land north of the river. So I think it's fair to say that there are many in the community who are very concerned about some of the decisions and actions of this council and the clear lack of genuine engagement and consultation and transparency in some of these transactions. And there's a strong movement in the community to have this changed. I think it's time.
It's time. That's an old Labor Party saying, wasn't it?
It is, actually. Yeah, you're right.
It's time, and you believe it. It's time now for the council, I guess, to be transparent and take, as I've always said, I think the council really needs to take ratepayers on the journey.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm glad you said that, to work with them, because I don't want us to be seen as an adversarial, you know, the goodies and the baddies. Look, there are obviously going to be times when we will be pushing back hard on and asking hard questions. That's what we are there for. But we want to be able to partner with council. We want to be able to say, look, you know, this is our belief, this is what our members are saying, and be able to put forward some of their views and give them some clear information that should assist them and give them the confidence to know that they do have the support of the community. I'm not sure that they can make those decisions and say they have the support of the community, because I'm not sure where they're getting that information from.
Okay, we mentioned the Qantas carbon credit scheme. We mentioned the block of land, all done really without taking the ratepayers with them, this council. And of course, now they've embarked on a council credits path to make the council carbon neutral. It was announced not as a public consultation situation meeting, but really an education workshop. You know, it's our way or the highway.
You're absolutely right. I mean, as I said, there's a mode of operation. It seems to be a mode of operation of this council. It's do and then tell, rather than consult, engage, listen to what's been said, truly engage and report back, and then make a considered decision. And, you know, I think there's plenty of examples to show that that's the way that the council's been operating. They were elected 4 years ago, and then no, pretty much we will tell you what we are doing. That's why I think the community is ready for a change. They're not prepared to cop that anymore, and I think it's time for some genuine engagement. But there hasn't been a vehicle for that, I don't believe.
Until now,
now. I don't believe there has been a truly independent group in our community that can represent ratepayers.
We're talking with Sylvia Healy, who is the president of the newly formed Douglas Shire Ratepayers Association. So the history books will say that it officially came into existence on this day, Friday, in 2020. Sylvia, rates in the Douglas Shire are high, and much higher than Cairns, much higher than some of the other councils that we know around the traps. Does that concern you? And does it concern the Ratepayers Association?
Absolutely. This is a big concern for many in our community. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of attending a meeting with the cane farmers, and they were deeply concerned about the astonishingly high rate rises that they're burdened with, and it's a huge concern to them. They're one of the highest rate in the dollar in the Shire.
The cane farmers really responded to what you had to say to them and the existence of the Ratepayers Association.
Oh, we had an excellent response of all the attendees there. At least 50% of the people there signed up immediately, and the others are going to our website. They are very unhappy with this council, I have to say. I don't think it's any secret. And certainly the rising rates is one of their key concerns. I think the whole conversation around how these rate categories were determined and the rate in the dollar is something that obviously ratepayers are interested in. And I'm sure there's a logic. There is some logical reason why it's structured in the way that it is. But that's a conversation that needs to be had with ratepayers, and we all need to have a say in that conversation.
Because when de-amalgamation happened, we were led to believe, I wasn't on the ground up here at that time, but certainly ratepayers were led to believe that the rates wouldn't go through the roof, and literally they've gone through the roof, up to the chimney and up into the sky.
Absolutely, and that's a detailed conversation that we would like to have. We're doing a lot of research into this. I mean, it's detailed. It's not a simple conversation. There's, you know, you can make facts and figures and dollars tell you whatever you want them to, really.
Creative accounting.
But I don't think there is any disputing that our rates are excessively high, and if you compare with Cairns, if say a property of a value of about $255,000, I think we estimated just on this year alone it was 22% higher in this region than it would be if they were in Cairns. But there's a lot of conversation that we would like to have with council about that. We've got a team that are working on those statistics, and we'll be, watch this space, I guess. We'll have more to say on that one.
Sylvia, water security high on the agenda, I think, for this upcoming local government election at the end of March. Now, look, we have a wet season where the rain buckets down, but it doesn't get collected. I spoke to a mayor in Salisbury, South Australia, the dry driest state on the driest continent, and that particular council is self-sufficient, so much water that they have there that they sell it. And yet here is this water coming down during our wet season. It doesn't get collected. Does water security concern the Ratepayers Association?
Oh, absolutely. Hugely. I mean, you know, you would have to be living in a cave not to know that that is a huge issue. We're constantly on level four restrictions, just come off, fair enough. But when, as you said, we can have a metre fall in a period of time and yet we are on severe water restrictions. I found it really interesting to read a response that was on the DSSG site that the council provided in response to a question about water security. I think the question was, do we have a water security strategy? And in response to that, I found the response quite curious, actually. I think they said there were a number of documents. I presume they're freely available for comment. We'll be looking for those. But then the response said, what is the community doing to prepare for this new trend of increased temperatures and decreased rainfall? So do we deduce from that that the onus is on the community, not the council, to address water? I mean, that was concerning, hardly giving us confidence that we have a strategy.
Yeah, well, we can always have a talk fest, can't you? And meanwhile, you know, the water conditions and water security is not there. I just find it hard to believe that over the years of this particular council, they haven't thought about this earlier.
I completely agree. I don't think you're the only one that's asking that same question, particularly when we have such a strong stance on the environment and securing and looking for, you know, securing our resources. It's astonishing that we don't. I mean,
it's like the, you know, it's closing the gate after the horse has bolted.
Yeah. Of all the things that's been front and centre, it seems for pretty much everyone, it doesn't seem to have been on the agenda. Now, as I said, the response in the DSSG's letter states that there are many documents in play, but maybe this is just another case of not telling us about it, or it's a secret, or I'm not sure, but our current situation with water restrictions and the sort of information that we are actually getting from council doesn't look very promising.
Okay, we're talking with Sylvia Healy, who's the president of the very newly formed and started today officially, but they've been working obviously behind the scenes to get this association up. But it is the Douglas Shire Ratepayers Association. To keep council honest, one would think, there's an old saying from the Democrats, I think it was, keeping the bastards honest. Now, we're not saying that anybody on council is that, but we're just using that as a term that this is probably what you guys want to do. Now, you've joined forces with Queensland Local Government Reform Association. What are you looking at there?
Yeah, we're very happy to be a member of the QLGRA, a bit of a mouthful. They've been really supportive with us in helping us establish the association. They've got a very strong track record in regard to supporting ratepayer associations in Queensland. They provide us with information on legislative reform and certainly point us in the right direction where to look and what we should be looking for. Mm. And that's invaluable for us. So they've been very supportive. They were very supportive of the IPS. Switch Council, for instance, and we all have seen in the public arena what happened there. So we're really pleased to be partnering with them and to have them supporting us.
Terrific. Now, what about the many ratepayers who own property up here but don't get a say or a vote? Now, these people invest in our economy by having real estate, by having property here. And of course, when they come up here, they're tourists. And they're further giving, you know, to our economy and boosting that. But they don't get a vote, despite the fact they are bona fide ratepayers. Now, what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that was one of the key discussion points when the small group of us that started this late last year was this large section of our community who pay a very large, significant portion of rates have absolutely no say anywhere, in fact, let alone in our council elections. So we absolutely see that their voice is important and they are vital to this community, their investments and what they bring to this community, and we intend to target that group and ensure that we can represent them. We really see that as a huge gap.
Now, that's a state government decision, isn't it? Mm. So you would have to lobby that way to the state government?
Well, one is the election issue, whether they can vote. You know, in other states, they can.
That's correct.
They absolutely can. But the other is that we want to be able to, at least if we can't make that change, then at least we can engage with that group and hope that they will engage with us and become a member. And then we can take forward their issues, and they will have a say to council through our association. And that's what we our proposition is to offer to that group, and we'll be very much targeting the non-resident ratepayers in the Shire.
Sylvia, where do you draw your membership from, and how many members do you want, eventually?
We will be drawing them from all of the ratepayers in the Shire. We're actively going to all community events where we'll be having a stall in the markets, and thank you to you to giving us a voice. We are looking to engage with as many ratepayers in the Shire as we can. The only way council will listen to us is if we have the numbers. There are a lot of small groups that come and go, as you mentioned earlier. They didn't have the numbers. And unless we have the numbers, we won't have a voice. So our first and foremost drive is to reach out to ratepayers and ask them to join us. We have a website. It's very easy to join.
Cost-wise?
It's $10 annual
$10.
Fee. $10. I'm not going to say less or more. Two cups of coffee, if you drink coffee. Depends where you buy it from. But it's a minimal amount. It's really just to cover our software, and you know, it's not about the money per se. We intend to have very few overheads. It's really more about having the membership and being able to say we truly represent a large segment of this Shire, and that will enable us to have a voice to council that we think will have to be listened to.
Sylvia, there's a danger with any group, including your association, that it's infiltrated by political wings and divisive groups. Now, how will you police that?
It's a fair comment to make. I think there are a number of so-called independent groups in our community that have sitting members of council that the mayor's actively involved in. You know, it's fine to be a part of these groups. If not having sitting council members and mayor being a part of it, they're funded, they're receiving funds. So they're hardly going to be going out on a limb and having some independent thought or challenging some of the decisions made by council. It is part of our constitution that no sitting member of council can be a member of our associations and certainly not be involved in any of our committees, and we intend to keep it that way.
So, I think that's a good idea.
Yep, and we certainly won't be seeking funds from the council either.
Okay. Now, you have an input into the think tank meeting that's coming up. Tell us about that. Mention the date and the time and where that is, and what will that be? What will happen at that particular think tank meeting with your association?
Yeah, we're very pleased to be partnering with Think Tank, a great organisation, a great forum that's been very successful. The meeting will be on Saturday, the 7th of March.
Before the election, of course.
Before the election at the Mossman Bowls Club. Everyone's welcome. At that forum, we intend to be inviting all of the candidates for the up-and-coming election to introduce themselves. It's really important that people who can vote make an informed decision, and the Ratepayers Association will also be there to be talking about our association and answering any questions that people might have. So I think it's going to be a great day.
So this will be like the old town hall.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, where the candidates can actually face the people,
yes,
and the people can ask questions of those candidates?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. There is such a large field and seems to be growing. We're going to have to be closely monitoring it time-wise, we could be there for a couple of days. So it will be fairly short, but I think it's important that we need to give people the opportunity to ask some key questions, and we certainly will be as an association.
Just a couple more questions, Sylvia. How do you intend to keep ratepayers informed of what's happening within the association and what council is up to? I mean, line of communication has to be kept open, unlike what the council is now.
Yeah, clearly we have to walk the talk, don't we? So, yeah, we absolutely do. Look, we are planning a number of events going forward. As I mentioned earlier, we're doing some research into rates. We're certainly looking into water management. We're looking at transparency and governance, and we'll be inviting and seeking input from our members. We've got a Facebook page. We will have we have our web page where we'll be posting articles and news events. So we will be in touch with our members and the community generally on a regular basis.
I think that's what ratepayers have been crying out for, just to be listened to.
Yeah.
They've got grievances, or they're not happy, or they are happy the other way. Yeah. They need to be able to express that. And look, there has been forms of this on Facebook. There's been buy, swap and sell. There's been other things. There's been other, I think, other outlets that have been hijacked by certain people. Mm. But you really need that communication and lines of communication to the ratepayers. And I think they'll respect that and they'll love that opportunity to have a voice.
Oh, absolutely. And we have an email address. What we won't be having is, like you mentioned, buy, swap, sell. It's not going to be a public forum where anyone can post. It will be, we will have posted articles. We will be taking on information that is fed to us, like concerns by our members, by ratepayers that come through our email through, and then we will respond to those. What we absolutely, as an organisation, where we are strong, please don't think for a minute we're going to back away from the hard questions, because we will be going in there hard. But all of the committee in particular and members are absolutely definite that we will not be going into personal attacks.
Yeah.
You know, it's at every level of politics. I personally find it distasteful and
absolutely
shocking.
Absolutely, and it can get so toxic.
And it shouldn't be. You know, that whole, what's that old saying, go for the ball, not the player? I mean, fight on the issue.
A good fight,
but don't get personal. That's just no need for it, and we won't engage in that.
Take the higher ground as well.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we don't want to be seen that we are aligned with any particular candidate. We are definitely not backing any particular candidate for this election. Whichever council gets in, we will be doing the same job. And I think that's important that our members know that that's our purpose.
If ratepayers listening to this podcast now want to get involved, what do they do? What is the first thing they have to do?
Go to our webpage, douglasratepayers.org.au.
Or go to your Facebook page.
Or go to the Facebook page, yep. And you can easily click to join on both sites. Most of the information will be on both sites eventually. But the information is all there, all of our articles, all of our news, all of our events, our committee, our constitution, our code of conduct.
The lot. Okay. Sylvia Healy, president of the newly formed and started officially today, so the history books will say, the 24th of January 2020, the Ratepayers Association got going officially. Sylvia, good luck. You have a big job in front of you and your team to keep those bastards honest, as they say. Good luck with all that.
Fabulous. Thanks so much for the opportunity, Paul.